The lesson is a very important lesson. It speaks of Christ will come again. And I like the intro. It talks about how that, like in the 1950s and 60s, we're always talking about, the Pentecostal church was always talking about the return of Jesus Christ. And that, you know, Jesus coming back. And that was kind of like a big focus, even when I went to Bible school. There was, you know, people coming in and talking about the end times and how that, you know, Christ could return. And there was just, I don't know, there were just a lot of emphasis on the return of Jesus Christ. Well, it's been a while since then, and Jesus hasn't returned. But the understanding is that we just haven't, all the requirements, as many prophetic teachers, those who study prophecy, that's what I mean by prophetic, those who study prophecy, they do believe that, and they believe that everything that declares that that needs to be fulfilled before Christ's return is already done. So Jesus could return at any moment, at any time, and the only reason that Christ delays is primarily because of his grace and mercy, so that some of those that are still lost can be saved. So it is his mercy that at this moment we feel is that we're holding, I don't want to say holding him back, but delaying the return. But Jesus said the only one who knows the return is God the Father. And there was, I don't know, maybe you remember this, there was a booklet in 1988 that says 88 Reasons Why the Rapture Will Be in 1988. So, you know, there was that one. And then there was another guy, and his name was, I know his name. His name was Harold Camping, and he predicted that he knew through calculations and through all the things of the Bible, and he put them all together that Jesus is going to return in July. He calculated July 2017 would be the time in which Jesus would return. It said, that was funny. Another author used scripture, history, and a calculator to produce a date for Christ's return. In small print at the back of the book, he stated that Jesus said no one would know the day or the hour of his return, but he didn't say anything about knowing the month of the year. You know, so he came up with the month of the year, you know, and of course, he had a large number of followers and stuff, and they sold everything and made contributions. There was billboards, you know, big bolt, you know, the on the roads, you know, Jesus returning, you know, July 2017. There was billboards, and you know, paid for that big push. And then, whenever, of course, Jesus didn't return, and these people had no more money, they had sold everything and sent it into him. And he said, well, I didn't really say that. I didn't tell you to send your money. You know, he was telling them they were basically foolish. Now, I don't know if it had anything to do with God preventing him from continuing, but he had a stroke and couldn't continue to speak. But he was constantly berating the Holy Spirit and Pentecost, and you know, he just ripped on that continually. And then he had his own little, well, I don't want to say his own little doctrine. There was they leaned towards, and this is a big word, I knew this from a Presbyterian, superlapsarian predestinationism, which means is everything is predestined and you have no choice. That's it. And, you know, his calculation was that, you know, if a baby died, okay, would that baby go to heaven? Well, his way of explaining that was, if God predestined that child as an adult to go to heaven, then it would go to heaven as a baby. But if he did not, if the child was predestined to go to hell when it was adult, that baby would go to hell. That's how far he was off. I mean, he was really off base. You know, and I my argument against those who were in that camp, I always said, well, then why do evangelism? Why tell anybody about Jesus Christ? So they have changed their doctrine somewhat. Now they do evangelism to get those people who are predestined to be members of their church. Yeah, that's right. They didn't do it for years. They had their own little group. It was a really good group. I mean, really good people. It was a real heady group. You know, smart intellectualism is. And I know some of the docs here at Wimber were members of the church, and they didn't necessarily follow this Harold Camping's. He wasn't their guru, but they did follow him and listen to him, and they had that type of approach to predestination. So there was a lot of misguided attempts, and because there are misguided attempts, that the whole conclusion is that some people lose hope that Jesus will return. And you say Christ is coming back, and you know they go, oh yeah, we heard that before. Well, the early church, they thought Jesus was going to return before they died. So it was, you know, just one of those. Right. They wanted to know what's going to happen. That's when Paul wrote. The question was to Paul, the people who have died and Jesus hasn't returned, what happens to them? And Paul wrote, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So that's where the theology of that, you know, our body and soul separate, and that our everything that is life in us goes to heaven, and the body stays, you know, here in the ground, and stays there until Jesus returns, when the trump of God shall sound, the dead in Christ shall rise. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet him in the air. So there's going to be this rapture of the church where the body and the soul are reunited. See, the importance of a bodily resurrection is that when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, they died spiritually and they died physically. So the death of Christ and the resurrection of Christ is the restoration of what God intended from the very beginning. So that's why there is a bodily resurrection, and it will take place. So the promise of Christ's coming, we find that in John chapter 14, verse 1 through 3. He says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." So the declaration of Jesus is that whenever people have died or dying, do not let your heart be troubled. Okay? Don't be upset with death. Believe in God, believe also in me. So Jesus is, you know, as we find in the book of John begins with Jesus being divine. You know, the other Gospels end up with him being divine. And John begins with the divinity. In the beginning was God, and, you know, and the Word was God, and, you know, and so, I forget to quote it, but anyhow, he talks about that God was in the beginning, and Jesus is God. He starts off with that whole sequence of who God is at the beginning. So in this scenario, this is his declaration to his disciples that this is at the Last Supper, the communion. We call it communion service now. But Jesus was telling them, don't be afraid of all of this that's coming. And believe, you know, in my Father's house are many mansions. Now, I know It's hard to understand this whole idea of mansions. We got this. We got a mansion on a hilltop, and so there's a big house on the hilltop. Well, if all of us have a mansion on a hilltop, there's a lot of hilltops. It's nothing but hills and valleys. You know, to go visit your neighbor, you got to go down in the valley to go up to the next hilltop. But one translation has it, in my father's house are many rooms. And we went over something Wednesday night, I don't know how long ago. And one guy had put it as a cube, you know, that it's, 124,000 miles or whatever, cube. And inside that cube is these rooms, you know. And I don't think there's hallways and elevators, you know. But it talks about it being a cube, and I don't remember the dimensions of it. But God has a place prepared for us, and He did speak the world into existence. He can speak heaven into existence, and that He has a place prepared for us is that where He is, there we would be also. So He's telling us that He has a place for us. If it were not so, I would have told you. So Jesus is affirming to His disciples that there is a place for them. And I'm telling you that I'm preparing it, and I'm preparing it for each one of you. And if I go and prepare this place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. So Christ receives us unto himself. When people die, many times they will see angels or loved ones or see Christ that comes for them, you know, just like they're dying and they see Jesus. You know, so I don't know if that's what this says, I will come again and receive you unto myself. I often think of that when people say that Christ has come to receive them and receive them home into heaven. And he says that where I am, there you may be also. So there is that declaration that, and if we understand the context of who we are in Christ, that Christ is in us, that we are part of the body of Christ, and that the Spirit of God abides within us, right? So the Spirit to where we are going is the Spirit of who we already have. I am in Christ now, and I am going to be in Christ in death. So I'm the transition between where I am to heaven, to the other side, is an easy transition because it is the Spirit of God that leads me from this life to the next life. And, Oh, yeah. Yeah. Right. Yeah. It is not the will of God that any should perish. So God's desire, so he has enough room for everyone. And that's the goal. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We are a grain of sand. Yeah. 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 Mm. Yeah, all that's there, and he still knows the hair on our head, or the lack thereof. So, but it's And then whenever it's all over in the book of Revelation, all of that goes away. Everything disappears like a flame. It all goes up in smoke. It's gone. Yeah. And he will begin again. New heavens and a new earth. You know, so an eternity with Christ. And the next scripture, we'll need to quit, is in Acts 1:1, verse 10. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." So, it, you know, he ascended into heaven, he's coming back. There's you know, no doubt about it. He was alive, and he lived, he died, he rose from the dead, and he ascended into heaven. That was seen, it was written of, and the angels declared that again to those who were standing there. This same Jesus that you saw going up, he's going to come back the same way. So, you know, when we see that in the book of Revelation and we talk about the return of Christ, you know, it's all there. You know, how it's going to happen. For the Lord, I like the next verse, 1 Thessalonians. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. So it said we shall meet the Lord in the air. So this is talking about the rapture of the church before the tribulation, because at the end of the tribulation, Christ comes back and he steps foot on the Mount of Olives, and he comes to the earth. In this one, he meets his loved ones in the air. So, but he's going to meet us in the air. So, amen. Watch. That's what the next verse. Watch therefore, for you do not know the hour the Lord doth come. Therefore be ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. So, and that's an admonition and a warning, you know. If Christ returns, you know, and you're in the wrong place or in the wrong state of who you are, get ready for a tribulation. So. Yeah. Well, there's a guy had a, you know, again, this is just an individual's report that he says that God allowed him, for whatever reason, to go to hell and to experience the torment of hell. And his declaration was, it was a place of total darkness, and he was in a cell with his own personal demon that tormented him and beat him and whipped him and threw him around, and you hear these people screaming and everything, and you can't die. You can't stop the suffering. You can't stop the torment because it's never ending. And another person talks about how that all of the times in which Christ came to us, and, you know, we rejected his wooing, his calling of us to repentance, all of those things will be the playbacks in our head, you know, of when we, and that we didn't need to be there. So, it's not a social club, you know, it's not a social club, it's an eternal torment. And the eternal torment is that it will never end.
That's like people say, I'm going to
No. They could be right next door and you won't even know them. You won't know they're there. Hey, Harry, is that you over there? No. You're not going to want to know who's next door. No. Well, if you see, we have concept of time. In eternity, we have no concept of time. I mean, we know that in a certain amount of time, the day, the hours, the minutes, they all pass. So we always have time in mind. You know, day, months, hours, seconds, whatever, years. We have all that in mind. But for eternity, there is no concept of minutes, hours, days. So, you know, 1,000 years, you know, the scripture, 1,000 years is as a day. So, like, okay, so 1,000 years is a day. It means that you don't even know when 1,000 years have passed. You know, so, and the rewards of heaven, you know, they're going to be glorious, and we're going to be with Christ, and the things that he has prepared for us, you know, we don't even know. You know, we couldn't even understand it. We were told what heaven is going to be like. We're going to walk on streets of gold. The gates are going to be made out of pearls or these rubies or whatever. And, you know, it's going to be all the things we count as precious we're going to walk on, you know. And there's just, it's going to be, you know, wonderful and beyond comprehension. So it's a great place. We want to be there. We want to be there. Father, we thank you that you have given us your word and how that it applies to our hearts and minds, that we can receive you as our Savior, that we can live the life that you have called us to only by your grace and mercy. So, Lord, we thank you for your word and continue, O Lord, to lead and guide us. May we be found faithful and, Lord, ever depending upon you and your word and your grace, your mercy. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.